Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
And welcome to Why Do You Think You've Got No Friends? My name is Emily Lang. I'm an actress, writer, singer, codependent, returnee from rock bottom, and a gratefully recovering addict. And this is the podcast where we aim to rid the shame, the highs and lows and deadly blows that ultimately led us to the lessons that we never knew we needed to learn, but are so grateful that we did. So today, this is a tough one because I think it's something that so many of us have experienced at one time or another. And I have been on both sides of a situation like this, and I'm not proud to admit that. But finding out that you have been lied to by people you care about and you thought cared about you. Navigating that, especially as a people pleaser, is incredibly difficult. My guest, Maddie Grace Jepson, and I are discussing all this and more today. Okay, so it is 2019, and I always like to say, what a big year. I don't know why I always introduce it like that, because fucking hell, no years were really that big, other than, you know, some real corkers out there that we all remember. Mm-hmm. But this is 2019, and the reason I'm excited about talking about this 2019 is because my guest today was in second year of drama school, which is, if you have been to drama school, you will know the second year of drama school is like essentially a sort of strange prison camp in a leotard and like weird fight things and acrobatics, mm-hmm, and the rest of it. It's a really, really strange time and very, very stressful. Mm-hmm. But it's 2019, and in this moment, why do you think you've got no friends?
Because
here we go.
Basically, to put it into it, I actually don't know how to sum up this story because it's so intense. Mm-hmm. But on top of everything else that happened in my second year, that was shit. The cherry on top was that my boyfriend at the time left me for a girl in my year who was a really good friend. I know.
Oh, my God.
And I've actually never spoke about this, really, ever. Oh. But, like, when I think about something that was going to send me into a mental breakdown, this was the moment.
So, oh, my God.
And can you imagine how intense that was at drama school? Oh. Like, in normal life, that is, like, intense. But at drama school, it's, like, times a billion.
Because at drama school, unless you've been there or like, you know, seen things, because there isn't a lot of like accurate portrayal of drama school in general media. It's a fucking weird place.
It's the craziest place.
And basically what you're having to do is like dance nose to nose with people for 8 hours
out
of
your
day.
And look at your body every single day, every second of every single day.
Big mirrors everywhere.
Literally. Yeah. No escape.
No escape. Doing really intense scene work, acting work. And literally, you are so hugger-mugger with these people. Mm-hmm. It's like you're living in a tuna can. Mm-hmm. Sardine can.
both compact, both unpleasant.
Yes.
It's so intense. And oh my God, that my little heart. No, that's,
it's awful.
That's,
and you're kind of like forced to just be friends with people who like,
yeah,
you probably wouldn't choose to be friends with.
Yeah.
And I'm such a person as I always want to get along with everybody.
Yeah.
So I was like, I actually was friends with pretty much everybody in my year,
yeah,
which like I now look back on and think wasn't actually necessary, but it's just like, this is what you do to get through.
Yeah. Because then it's comfortable. It's like, yeah, that's what makes it comfortable, because it's an uncomfortable place.
Yeah.
And I remember at the start of my 3 years at Guildhall, they went, you don't have to like each other, you just have to work with each other. And I was like, the idea of working with someone that I don't like, that mm-hmm. is, I can't, like, what the fuck are you talking about? I can't, yeah, do that.
Literally.
And so you sort of meld yourself into the situation where you adapt to different people and just make yourself as palatable as possible to mm-hmm. everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, it's such a horrendous situation. Where do we start with this? Like,
honestly, where do we start?
How long had you, had it been like you guys have got together in like first year?
Yes. So we'd like, which was kind of like, should never have happened. Don't fuck in the factory.
Don't fuck in the factory. Don't shit where you eat.
And we actually were told that, like, don't fuck in the factory. But and I was like,
it's really difficult. But at drama school, it's really, really difficult.
Oh,
it's
God.
The same way with, like, you know, they talk about the Strictly curse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, well, obviously, because when you're literally staring into someone's eyes all day and grinding on them, things, chemicals get very confused
exactly.
in your brain. And it's like, it becomes, you get, obviously you're going to want to fuck that person.
And also, like, you are each other's, like, support system for, like, yeah. that intense time. So, like, it's like, and it's so funny because I look back now and, like, me and, because basically, we'll get into it, but we officially broke up like last year. So we actually
did you get back together?
We did. We'll get into it. We'll get into it.
Okay.
But I actually have nothing against him as a person. Like, he's really lovely. But like, he was like the it boy of the year. Like, you know what? You know what it's like that? It's like, you get so caught up in like, what is going
on? I know, because I had the exact same thing. I know exactly.
But
yeah.
Do you know what it is? It's he was like Troy Bolton, I was Gabriella.
That
like,
is literally it.
Do you know
that
what it is?
That like, is it. You go to drama school and there's Troy Bolton being like, you know, I do this, but I also play baseball.
Yeah.
I actually play football. What? Oh my God.
Yes, like, he loves to eat football. And I was like, oh my God, he's such a lad. But
does he play the guitar?
No, he didn't play the guitar. But he was such a good singer.
That ruins
good singer.
Yeah.
Actor. I was like, oh my God, my dream man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, 100%.
You know?
Because you've grown up with this, grown up with the Disney Channel, with Zac Efron.
Literally.
And then suddenly you get to a place when you're like, oh my God, it's real. And you're right, maybe in the wider world, but the thing is about drama school, you are together so much that the wider world doesn't really exist.
Literally.
Yeah.
And we really were each other's support system. And like we were like best friends before we got together and everything. So like it felt so perfect.
Yeah.
And this is why it was so traumatic for me. Like, oh my God, it was just a crazy, crazy time. But like, I don't even know where to start. Where do you want me to like start?
So you got together in first year.
I was together in first year.
What,
end of first year.
Yeah.
We kind of got together. And then I had such a nice little summer together.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Went back to second year. And immediately from the start of second year, I was like beaten down by like the stakes of second year. Because obviously your first year, logistically, like it doesn't count because I was doing a degree. So like it doesn't count towards your like end qualification, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But second year does. So it was like immediately there was already this pressure of like, okay, everything I'm doing this year really actually counts now.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to like, I have like bad anxiety. So like, I tend to have these like waves of like really bad anxiety.
Mm.
And like, that's all I ever experienced in terms of like mental health. But second year was my first experience of like proper depression.
Mm-hmm.
Like really like depressed.
Yeah.
So whenever I think about my second year, I just think I was a shell of a human.
Mm.
Like I wasn't getting any opportunities. Competitiveness started coming into play and like people's true colors start coming out, because I can be competitive, but I feel like I'm pretty good at being balanced in like being competitive and also just being a nice person.
Yeah.
Whereas I think a lot of people struggle with knowing how to balance being competitive and balance like
being kind. It can't be separated. They're one and the same. That competitiveness
and they
comes
don't
with
teach
like
you that like
no.
they kind of just no one teaches you, like, guides, like, you know, you need to find this balance. Like, yeah. you don't have to, like...
You can be driven without being malicious.
Exactly. Yeah. And so it was just so intense. And, like, I remember, like, it kind of became a bit competitive in the relationship because there was, like, this group. Then, actually, you've got to re-audition to prove you're actually a really good... Like, cool. not everyone gets in your year.
That's fucking mental. Like,
anyway, so I didn't get into this group and... My boyfriend at the time did. Mm. And, like, I don't know. Like, it just felt like a bit like, I got one up on you. Like, it was just a bit like that. And then it was kind of like, that was kind of the moment where people determined if they were going to, like, work or not outside of drama school, if you got into this group. That's kind of what it felt like. It's so stupid. Now I can hear it come out of my mouth. Like,
No.
So stupid. But at the time, it felt so intense. Like, I can't even explain it. Like, if you haven't been to drama school, you don't get it. Like, to have to go back into to school the next day and college the next day and, like, pretend like nothing had happened, even though this cast list had gone out the night before and, like, everyone had seen.
Oh my God. That literally licks my chest, like, wobble.
Yeah, like, gives me heart palpitations.
Yeah. Because it's, even though there's no, like, spoken, there's no one going, this is the rule that if you get into this thing, you will then be the ones that work. There's none of that. But there's also, like, when we were at Guildhall, there was always like, if you leave early in third year to go do a job, that means you're gonna work.
Oh.
Like that. But and if you don't, if you make it, basically if you make it to the end of your 3 years and do a degree, then you're fucked.
Yeah.
Like, you're not gonna work. Which of course isn't the case.
No.
But, like, it's, you make up this thing in your head.
And there's always that, there is just, like, an underlying energy of this, like, people trying to, like, figure each other out. Yeah. And, like, I just hate that. I'm like, everyone's got their own lane. Everyone's doing their own thing. But anyway, so remember that was kind of like a moment where, how do I explain this without sounding like a prick?
No, you can sound like a prick. Trust me, I've tried.
As everyone knows now,
yeah,
I am a very, like, outward person, and, like, I was always, like, the one that made everyone laugh, and everyone liked me. I had, like, all my friends, and everyone liked me. Like, and I liked everyone, but I felt like when all this stuff was happening to me second year, there was kind of, like, this energy that people were, like, enjoying seeing me kind of, like, fail. Yeah. And, like, I didn't really recognize it at the time. But now when I look back, I'm like, yes, this was why you enjoyed my downfall and people, like, reveled in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I did really well in first year. I got a lot of opportunities. And the second year I didn't, which probably was, like, fair. But, like, it was like people were, like, secretly enjoying it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when the rest of the year played out and everything happened with, like, my ex, like, it'll all come to light. You'll understand why I feel that way.
So was, when this happened, was this other girl, was she in
this group? Yes. And she was my like, really good friend.
And she's in your year as well.
She was in my year. Right. And we were really good friends and, like, supported each other through, like she'd, like, broken up with her boyfriend and, like, I'd been, like, her shoulder to cry on and, like, because you get split into twos, half of the year. And so she was in my half of the year, whereas my housemates were all in the other half of the year to me. Mm-hmm. Like, it kind of, like, used to swap around. But she was kind of just someone I was constantly always around. And someone that people used to compare us to each other a lot. We were very similar in style of singing and blah, blah, blah. And so we just, like, you know, it was just like, we were friends. We were good friends. We used to have, like, group singing together. And, like, you know, she was my good friend. I would say, like, she was my good friend. And then basically at the end of our second year, we were doing a show, which is, like, the first public performance.
Mm-hmm.
And my boyfriend got the lead. And then I think it was, like, I can't remember. It was some weird show. Anyway, so it wasn't even guaranteed what show we were going to be put into, but you just auditioned for both and that was that. So anyway, I got down to the final, and obviously since having a shit second year, I was like, oh my God, this could be, like, my really just, like, a good end to this year.
I'm back, bitches.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. And then I was like, I didn't get it, whatever. Yeah. And this girl did. And, like, I was really happy for her. Like, I was friends with her. So I was really happy for her. I was so happy for my boyfriend at the time. Mm. Like, it was great. And, like, I wasn't worried about a thing, and it was fine. And long story short, I started feeling, like, a bit like I was having a gut feeling, you know, the gut feeling. I just had the gut feeling.
Shit.
And, like, I really, like, now I'm like, I should have just, like, listened to my gut from the start. Mm. Isn't it funny how your body knows before your brain?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Wild. So anyway, we broke up because I was like, he just wasn't reassuring me enough about things I was feeling insecure about.
Mm.
And then, like, about a week later, this, like, rumour surfaced. And I was like, oh, it's a classic.
Oh, my God.
It's like, honestly, it was a classic. Rumour surfaced. They kissed at a party that I was at.
Sorry, I just literally looked over to Vito and Anna who sat behind us and went...
Yeah. Oh, and I was like, okay. So all my fears and basically the reason why we broke up is now all coming true. Like,
right.
But I was so... Because I'm such a nice person, I was like, there's no way. I was like, there's no way that's happened. Like, someone's made that up. Like, there's no way. And anyway, I heard this rumor and then I get like a call from him being like, oh my God, like, I'm just telling you this before you hear it because it's not true. And I don't want you to hear it like as a rumor. Like, I'm just telling you it's not true. And I was like, thank you so much for being honest.
Thank you. Thank you, Troy.
You're so thoughtful.
You're so thoughtful.
I was like, you're so thoughtful. Thank you. You know me so well.
You're so special.
Honestly. And I was like, this is so great. Yeah, like, he's told me before it's come out. And I was like, no, guys, don't worry.
Yeah.
I was like, don't worry, guys. It's not true. Mm. He told me it's not true. Oh, little did I know. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
But then this room is, like, eating me up because people are saying to me, like, no, like, there's no way this room has just come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And, like, obviously you have these, like, doubts because the whole reason why I was feeling insecure in the first place was because I felt like something was going on while we were together and blah, blah, blah. And then I just decided to show up at her house and, like, just not tell her I was coming, just show up and talk to her.
Yeah.
I was like, friend to friend.
Yeah.
She's going to tell me the truth.
Yeah.
Turn up at her house, sit down with her. I'm like, please, can you just free me from this? Like, I feel like I'm going to break down. Like,
can we just segue into how brave that is as well? That's a really brave thing to do.
Honestly, but I'd also prepared myself at going there to hear that it had happened and that they really liked each other and blah, blah, blah. Like, I was like, okay, I've got to prepare myself to hear this.
Yeah.
I sit down. She looks me in the eye. She holds my hand. She's like, Maddie, I would never do that to you.
Oof.
So I'm like, unreal. Mm-hmm. I was skipping home.
Yeah.
I thought, great, like, whatever. And then they would, like, show up to rehearsals together. And, like, I was just still, like, I honestly felt like I was being, like, tormented this whole time. And at this point, I'd, like, lost so much weight. I couldn't eat a thing.
Yeah.
Because I was so nauseous and anxious.
Yeah.
And, like, I really hate that I let that situation get the better of me so much.
Christ, my love, trust me, like... I'd be back in rehab already. No, I wouldn't be able to hack it. Trust me.
It's like it really annoys me that I let it affect me so much. But anyway,
these things just get into our bodies.
It was the worst time ever, and I'd kind of come to terms with the fact that like maybe something was going on, but I was in denial. Like I was in such denial about it,
right?
Like questioning whether it was like real or not.
Oh fucking hell!
It was torture. It was awful, and then. So we broke up for the summer. Like, everyone went home for the summer. And I get, like, this is when the story starts to get good.
I love this. Okay. I'm so invested.
At the end of second year, we all had to audition for our third year shows.
Can we segue here? What were your third year shows just ahead of time?
So we did The Little Mermaid.
Cute.
We get the cast list through.
Mm-hmm.
And I am Ariel. Woo! And I tell you what, nothing felt more sweet in that moment.
100%.
Than knowing I was coming back in that year to be Ariel in the first show we were doing of the year. I was like that. Oh.
This is my time. Yeah.
I can't tell you how good I felt.
The relief that must have flooded your body.
The relief. Yeah. And I just thought, I'm going back as like a bad bitch.
Yeah.
Anyway. And then we get the casties out and I get like a text like from the ex being like, congratulations, like no one deserves this more than you.
Mm.
Also, I was still so in love with him.
Oh, babe.
Like I really was. And like to hear from him, I remember at the time just being like, oh, yes. And then anyway, summer goes on, blah, blah, blah. And then I get like another text from him being like, I need to see you. I need to speak to you about something. And right. I was like,
here we go.
Okay, what do you want to speak to me about? And he's like, I just need to, like, there's just a lot I need to, like, talk to you about. And I was like, okay, mm-hmm. here we go. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, well, no, I don't really want to see you. Like, I'm living my life. Like, I was going on dates and stuff. Like, and I came to a point where I was like, I actually don't need him. Like, it's fine. But then he, like, just showed up, like, where I, like, live. And he was like, I'm here. And I was like, okay. He was like, I need to speak to you. And then he kind of, like, broke down and, like, just admitted everything to me. And, like, told me,
so
like...
They had kissed at that party, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay.
And then the whole time through the show, they were, like... seeing each other, basically, like, basically a week after we'd broken up. But obviously stuff had obviously happened before we'd broken up. That's my understanding as well.
Yeah.
Maybe nothing physical, but definitely emotionally.
Oh, yeah, it starts early.
You know. Mm. So in that moment, I was like, I literally couldn't breathe. Because even though I, like, knew, I was like, I hadn't accepted it.
Yeah, what's the confirmation of it? Mm. It's the actual, like, stone cold evidence of going, awful. This thing happened. Like, you can speculate and you can know and your body can know, but until it's actually confirmed, it's like you can still have it as a little, like, mist around you rather than, like, a massive rock on your doorstep.
And then it was just, like, everything came flying back, like, oh, my God, she lied to my face. Mm. Because when I think back to it, I think if from the beginning they'd both just been like, we can't deny our connection. We have this undeniable connection. Mm. We really, really like each other. Mm. I'd be like, this is awful, but who am I to stand in the way of this? Like, again, that's me being too nice. But, like, as in, I just hated the lies. And then it became clear that, like, basically 80% of my year knew the whole time and no one told me.
Yeah.
You can't, like, why did no one sit me down and say, this is wrong, I'm telling you that it's true, and I've heard, and you need to know. Like, no one did that. It's fucked up,
it is,
mate.
Really fucked up. It's really fucked up.
Yeah, so I just felt completely betrayed by every single person.
Yeah.
Like, all my friends. Like, these people who are, like, I thought I was friends with.
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
Really, everyone just wanted to see me fail. Like, that's really what it came down to.
Yeah. And it's almost like that thing of you haven't done anything to deserve it. The only thing that you've done to deserve it is by succeeding and by having a lot in the first year. And so they're like, oh, well, finally. Literally. Like, it's this thing of going, you've done nothing to deserve it and yet you deserve it.
I know.
That's horrendous.
I don't know. It's just a weird, it was just a weird, weird time.
Were they then
life.
Like together after that?
No. So... I can't really, it's all a blur, like, honestly. But so when he, like, the thing is, when he came back and admitted everything to me, I was like, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, because I was just so, like, I felt like, it was like kind of like revenge at the fact that he'd come back to me.
Yeah.
Like, I felt really like, what's the word? What's the word I'm looking for? Like, it was really...
gratification?
Yeah. Like, I felt so... I was just like, I knew you were going to come back to me. And it felt like it was just a success. Like, it felt like a success story that he'd, like, come back to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was the winner, which is really fucked up. Now I think back to it, I'm like, that's a really silly way to thought about things. But that was my coping mechanism.
Mm.
Is I was like, if the fact that now he's come back to me, I'm happy.
Mm.
And it was like, I relied a lot on his validation. Like, now I realize, like, it was a lot of, like, I just needed his validation to feel good about myself.
Yeah.
Because I felt like someone had been picked over me and, like, that doesn't happen to me. And then anyway, he'd come back to me and basically was trying to get back with me because he'd realised the grass wasn't greener and all this stuff. And actually, at the time, I was like, there's no way I can go back to this school not with him.
Right.
Because if I'm not with him, what if they get together or something in this year?
Yeah.
Or, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it 100%.
Was like, and I was like... I can't leave that
alleyway open. I can't.
No, yeah, I was like, he's mine or, like, I'm... leaving the school, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I was literally like, and it's so stupid because that's a boy.
Yeah.
Like, why am I allowing this? Anyway, so stupid. But anyway, so we kind of, like, were working through things and she, then we, like, I, like, met for a coffee with her And she kind of like...
God, that's good of you. That is bloody good of you.
She kind of like didn't apologise, but kind of did, but just kind of didn't.
Would you be able to accept her apology in that moment?
To this day, like, I've really struggled to, like, accept what she did.
Yeah.
And also accept what he did. But it was easy to forgive him because I felt like we were together for another 3 years after this, and he, like, nothing, he was obsessed with me after that point. So I felt like he'd, like, shown me that he was, I don't know. When I met with her for that coffee, I actually thought, I'm going to be that person and forgive her and, like, release her of that guilt. Because I've definitely done stuff in my life that I've, like, felt so guilty for.
Yeah.
Like, when I was really, like, depressed in second year, I was horrible to people. Like, there was definitely times I said stuff to people and I had to hold my hands up and go, I'm really sorry for what I said. Like, I'm not going to use this as an excuse.
Yeah.
I'm going to do better.
Yeah.
And I think everyone should be allowed to be released of that guilt if you really, truly want to better yourself.
Yeah, people can be very, very unwell and people behave in ways that often just, like, learned coping mechanisms.
Yeah, and aren't a true reflection of who they are.
Yeah, and it's, like, a reflection of their own low self-esteem and their want to be seen, and who knows where that's come from. But the, like, pattern of continually hurting people and and not changing that, that's when I'm like, nope.
Exactly.
Because fuck me, I've done stuff in the past that has been, like, that has hurt my friend so much. Like, I've lost friends because of what I did. And I am so, so full of shame.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start crying.
You can cry.
I'm so, fuck, it's, I'm crying in every episode this week. It's so full of shame and guilt for that. But the, like, want to change and go, I am so sorry for what I did. This was a very, very unwell person behaving in a way that was not productive and was bad, bad. But making those changes and actually wanting to adapt, that can definitely be forgiven.
1,000,000%.
This is going to take a sort of slightly stronger turn, but it's been... God, I don't know how we're getting here, but, like, you know, everything that's happened with Russell Brand recently and it's not to say there's no road to redemption, but the act of taking responsibility and the act of apologising, the act of changing ways, there's something so powerful about that. And I spoke about it recently on my Instagram. I've had a situation recently, my first boyfriend when I was 18, he was, like, incredibly abusive and, like, incredibly physically, emotionally, sexually abusive. And recently I had someone come to me and ask for details of what had happened because he had come into their lives.
Right.
And they had heard about what had happened between him and me and some other people. And she said, you know, if you're comfortable talking about it. And I spoke to her, I spoke to someone else, and I gave these details and I said, you know, I'm not making this up. I'm not embellishing anything because I don't need to. And they then spoke to him, and then I heard back from them that he either said, I can't remember that happening, or completely denies it. And I said to them, the only way that I could begin to forgive him for his behaviour and forgive him for what happened as if he said, yes, that happened and I was a bad person, but I'm trying to change. Yeah. So it's that continued thing of going, yes, we all make fucking terrible mistakes. Of course we do, because a lot of the time we haven't learned how not to make those mistakes and it's by making the mistakes that we then learn. But to repeatedly do it and then go and either not apologise, deny it, or continue lying, it's just, there feels no path to redemption.
Yeah.
Because
you can't move forward without responsibility.
You can't just stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's horrendous.
And it's the worst thing ever to admit when you've done something wrong.
Oh my God, it's horrendous.
No one likes to go, I was a really bad person and I should have done. Everyone hates fucking doing that.
No one wants to do that.
Obviously, but, like, I think it's actually so... it's really empowering to do it because you are releasing yourself from, like, you're separating yourself from that person. Like, do you know what I mean? As in, just going, yeah, I did do that. And it was, why did I do that? I don't know why I did that. It's horrible, but I'm never going to deny that I did it. All I can do is be a better person and prove that I'm a better person. Because, you can't take responsibility and then not do anything about it.
No, exactly.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's actually it's kind of a get out. And I'm sorry, men, I'm not generalising you completely, but like a lot.
No comment.
But men like tend to do the same, going, I'm a prick, I'm a bad guy. And it's like, that's such a fucking cop out. That's such a cop out.
I know.
You can't just go, I'm a bad guy, I'm a prick, and I'm going to ruin this. It's like, no, don't know.
Because everyone's got like a nasty streak to them.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that like wholeheartedly. Like you can't, like I make such a conscious decision to like try and like approach things in the best way possible, because I know if I was to just act out on impulse, it probably wouldn't be the most like a healthy way to deal with the situation. Like, and I think that's something that might just be something personal to me, but I do think a lot of people can probably relate. It's like, if they were to just act on impulse in situations, they would regret the way they acted. It's like, it is a conscious decision to go like, how can I rationally deal with this situation? Do you know what I mean?
That was about taking the pause, and the pause is like, I didn't know about the pause for a very long time.
Mm.
Still don't know much about the pause, but I'm trying to know about the pause.
Yeah.
But like, it's a really tricky thing to do, because you want to, because the amygdala, which is just like this little nugget at the base of your brain, that works so much faster than the cortex, which is the main bit of the brain. So, and that's like the animal bit. And so when you want to respond with this like emotion, and because that works faster, you go, that's the impulse, that must be what's right. Mm. But actually, if you take a minute, then it just goes, like, trickles up to the rational part of the brain, which goes, hang on.
Yes.
Hang on just a tiny sec there.
Yes.
Before you respond in this way that you will probably regret.
Yes.
Just take a second.
Uh-huh.
But it's really difficult to do, because when you're immediately have this like knee-jerk emotion, it's very difficult not to follow it, because it feels right.
It feels comfy.
Yeah. And there's this sort of thing that a lot of people who have, because I think having therapy language but not actually being completely clued in on it is a very dangerous thing. Mm. And when people go like, when people sort of bandy the word triggered around or traumatized or anything like that. But when people go, my response is valid, I'm like, yeah. Yeah, it is, but it's also not coming from a place of being calm. You're responding completely from emotion.
Yeah.
And actually, it's new.
I know, because actually that's really interesting, like, relating it back to the situation we were talking about. It's like, I felt like she was very emotional, very, very emotional about the situation, and was very upset, and she basically sat and just cried at me to try and... And almost saying that, like, my feelings are valid.
Mm.
And I was kind of... I've really struggled to see how.
Yeah.
and then I felt like a really bad person, because I was like, but I don't think your feelings are valid, because you got yourself into that situation.
Yeah, how are her feelings valid?
She, I think she felt very hurt by him.
Yes, and that does fucking suck.
Uh-huh. That and I can suck. Understand from that point of view because he's broke up with me, got with her, and then come back to me.
Yeah.
But then I kind of think, you should have known better.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And also, you're a bad friend.
I've been a very, very bad friend in the past, and I will openly say I've been a very bad friend of an occasion, but I would also... not sit there when I've been a bad friend and go, my bad friend feelings are valid. It's no, just kind of say you've been a bad friend.
Yeah.
Just do that.
Exactly.
Because we've all done shit. Obviously, things on the Richter scale of fuck up, you know, vary. But it's, but we've all done shit. And if you can just say, again, it's just a thing of this. I love this why this episode has gone without taking responsibility and it's going, great. Just going like, stop trying to defend yourself right now.
Yeah. Stop being defensive.
This is not the moment for you to defend yourself.
It's the time to be vulnerable.
Yeah, yeah.
And just be vulnerable and, like, it feels so exposing.
Yeah.
Just do it and then it's done.
But I also imagine that because I love the word vulnerability for a lot of reasons, mainly because it I thought it very much meant one thing and it does not. It applies very differently to the individual because vulnerability... When you say the word vulnerability to the average person, they'll be like, oh, that's about, you know, being like, being able to cry and being and actually, that's not really what vulnerability is at all. Vulnerability is a very personal thing that, imagine people like you and I who want to get on with everyone and want to be nice and want to make sure that everything's okay and be like too kind. My vulnerability is confronting anybody. Like, that's... Yeah, right? So I imagine in that moment when you were having that conversation with her, that was you being really exposed for yourself of having to...
And actually, I don't think I fully allowed myself to be fully vulnerable in that. Because confrontation to me is... Oh, I hate it.
It's the worst.
And really, I should have gone in on her a little bit, but I didn't.
It's so uncomfortable.
Because I was so... Yeah. Oh, I don't like it, you know?
This is like what... when Rosie Jones was on the podcast talking about how... when people have used ableist language, and she said there was a time when she wouldn't have said anything because she didn't want to make that other person uncomfortable or make that other person feel bad for what they had done. And so she would then carry this thing. And instead she then went, no, actually, if someone uses an ableist slur or someone use social prejudice, the rest of it, I'm allowed to go, no, I'm not going to have that. You have that back. And actually not have to take responsibility for this person's feelings.
Yeah.
But it's so difficult as someone who is very used to making everything nice and easy to just to hand off the feeling of being uncomfortable for somebody else.
Uh-huh.
It's horrible. Because then you go away being like, I've ruined their day.
I know.
Even though that's not your problem.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it is.
I know.
It feels like your fault.
I know.
Even though it's not.
I know. Maybe that's just because we're nice.
It's because we're so nice. Because we're the nicest people ever. It's the absolute worst. And I struggle with men and connection to men and having, you know, I struggle with that so much.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I know you're saying about, you know, how... Why did you allow this boy to do this? And you're like, but fucking hell. I do it. I do it all the time.
I know. And I think it's because I'm such a lover girl. So like when, and I feel things so intensely.
Mm.
And I think that comes from being like undiagnosed ADHD.
But like,
I'm like, I feel things so intensely.
So do I, yeah.
You know, like if I'm happy, I'm so happy.
Mm.
And like if I'm in love, I'm so in love. And like it's so intense. And when I'm sad, I'm so sad. And I'm not very good at like being able to keep things level. So like I think, you know, what was my point?
This is a classic. This is what I do. Like go on for tangent.
What was I saying?
You were saying, Jesus Christ.
You said...
About boys, loving really intensely.
Exactly.
Like boys.
So I think, that's why, like, when he, like, came back to me, that's why I forgave him so quickly, because it was just like...
That's the validation of it. Yeah. I won, essentially.
Yeah. And, I won. And it's not the best way to look at it at all. And,
no,
you know, I wouldn't... If I could speak to my younger self at the time, I'd be like, look, you can go through with this because you're going to have a really nice 3 years, but you're not going to end up with this boy anyway.
Mm.
So, like, you could just, like, not get back together and just be free. But, like, it was just never going to work out that way.
Yeah, and I think re-entering that environment after what had happened, I think it would have been very, very difficult.
Oh, it would have been awful.
Yeah.
Would have been absolutely terrible. But anyway.
So, question I want to ask you now.
Mm-hmm.
My favourite. What are the things about you, with all of this that we talked about, but what are the things about you that you really love and cherish?
I love that I feel things intensely.
Mm-hmm.
I actually really love that about myself. And I think I feel sorry for people that can't feel, that don't feel emotions. Because I cry all the time and I love crying and I like being an emotional person. And because for so long I was made to feel like it was like a bit of a burden that I was an emotional person.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
So I do love and cherish that about myself. And I was going to say I love that I'm very empathetic, but I think that probably ties into that.
It's a lovely thing, though.
Yeah.
It's often difficult because we take on other people's emotions and it's difficult to separate ourselves from other people around us if there's something going on. But it is also, speaking for a really good heart, which I think is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think being empathetic is a really great trait to have because if everyone was just a little bit empathetic, I think we'd all be... like, we'd be living a bit more peacefully. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Because empathy is like, I don't know. Yeah. I just think, why are you not empathetic? Weird.
Come on.
Anyway. Come but, on.
You know that song? Here we go. Musical theatre. The song, there's a musical called The Last 5 Years.
Oh, yes.
And you know, here we go. When at the end, it goes, I guess I really never understand how you can stand there straight and tall and see I'm crying and not do anything
at all.
Literally. No, Jamie, that's exactly what you're doing.
Musical theatre. Musical theatre.
Musical theatre. I didn't even do it, but I love it.
Oh, but it's true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's that I can't. If I sort of I see strangers crying, I'm like, what can I do?
Don't. Oh, my God. Like, when you start crying, I'm like...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm, like, tearing up.
100%. It's just awful.
I just can't. But, yeah, I would say that, but they're probably...
I think that's wonderful.
Too.
I think that's great.
And also probably my ability to, like, make people feel... to laugh, make people laugh. And
love that. Yeah.
Feel comfortable around me.
Okay.
I love that I can do that for people.
We have Fortune in the podcast that we like to call thank you letters, where we ask you to express gratitude for a person, a place, or a thing, or one of all three, but something, someone, somewhere for which you're grateful.
Oh my God, there's too many.
I know. You don't have to do all of them, don't worry. You can do as many or as little as you like.
Oh, well, I think the obvious one would be my mum and dad.
That's cute. I like that. Oh, here we go. I'm so raw right now.
I suppose just like so grateful for my mum and dad for everything. How can you even? And I feel so lucky that I have parents that I'm able to thank for everything because I'm very aware that not everyone has that. So like, I think just even being grateful that they're just here and being supportive of me and my biggest fans
I love it. It's just simple.
But there's also so many other things I could say that I'm so grateful for, like too many things, and I'm gonna go away and start feeling like, oh my God, I should have said thank you to that person.
A BAFTA speech. It's being like, I didn't thank you, I'm so sorry.
Anyone in my life,
thank you.
I'm so grateful for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, my manager. I'm grateful for you. I'm sorry.
I want to thank God.
Yeah, literally. I want to thank the universe. I want to thank God. Too much. But yeah.
Is there anything that you could talk about that you're currently working on or you'd like to promote or... go on.
Yes. Well, I'm part of a comedy sitcom on Channel 4. Which I have spoken about. Like, it's not like a...
like it's announced, like it's happening.
Okay.
But I'm unsure when it's coming out, so I can't tell you guys, sorry. But I think it'll be in the new year. It was supposed to be out like in October, but...
Oh, that always happens.
It's like, they haven't done any sort of press for it yet, so I'm assuming that like it's just ongoing. But anyway, I'll be in Big Mood, it's called. Nicola Coughlan and Lydia West are the leads. And you can catch me in one of the episodes.
Thick. Yeah.
But and that's exciting, but I don't know when it's out, so sorry.
That is very exciting. I love it. Well, I'll link it if we've got the thing. I'll put okay, some in there.
There's like an article. There's lots of articles you can link.
Yeah.
We'll find something.
Thank you so much for coming to see us today. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for you nearly... I mean, gosh, it is an elite group who get me to the point of tears, so well done.
See, that's my ability to make people feel comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. Also, Michael's left the premises. I don't know where he's gone.
Oh.
But thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And yeah.
Thank you for having me. This is like a therapy session for me.
Woo!
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.